Blog Talk Radio.
This one goes out to my little homie Brandon. Told you, I got you, my man.
A lot of pressure, man. Let's go, baby. Sophisticated gorillas is on the move tonight. VA, stand up. Come on. My man. 100 miles of running. With guns in our hand. Barbarian, heavy metal, carrying rock band. Investing in stock, man. Testing the clock, grand. My peeps got a spot on the block of my block, fam. A jar in the pot, man. Gets you a knot, man. Like ching ching. Hot damn. Cooked it like hot ham. Gotta be smart, man. Playing your part, man. Keep your feelings apart. With ice over your heart, man. Hustling ain't a game. Hustling the art, man. 50% sour. 50% smart, man. And lamest terms ain't.
Your host
smash it. New thing. This is the song. Got two lyrics. Very simple and plain. We can all sing together. Nobody has to feel left out. Join in. This is a song that people need to be singing right about now. When they're telling you that you can't, you shouldn't, you won't. Tell them this, tell them this, tell them this.
No way. No matter.
Outside much. A lot of stuff going on tonight. tonight we're gonna just mess around a little bit. Something that I'm always interested in, and everybody on this planet is always interested in doing something to this effect. Maybe they may not say they love it, but they know they do. Everybody gotta eat. Everybody. So. Let me go ahead and do my little thing like we always do. We kick it off. You can find me at Facebook at george.mango.904. You can find me on Facebook at Sound Off Forums. You can follow me at Twitter at hashtag soundoff97413. You can also email me at soundoff97413@gmail.com. If you have any questions or if you want to leave a comment or you want me to talk about something, feel free to email me or leave a comment on my Facebook page or email me. You can also call in at 347-989-1014. And as we always do, we got to do it. Ephesians 6:6-13. Not with eye service as man pleases, but as the servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And he master do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master is also in heaven. Neither is there respect of the persons with him. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take upon the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having all done to stand. And let the church say, Amen. 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 So, as we kick it off, I tell you what, I love food. I love food since I could even talk, love food. And one thing I know about food is a comforting thing. You eat food when you're upset. You eat food when you just eat food, period, you know. And when it comes to family events, when it comes to holidays, people eat. So rather if you thick, big, a toothpick skinny, or borderline, listen, everybody loves to eat. So tonight's edition is, what is your favorite meal or dessert you like to eat or prepare for people to eat? Also with that, is it, where's your favorite place you've ever eaten, and what did you have? So, I tell you off the top, I'm going to give you this recipe. You could have it's called etouffee, okay? It's a Creole dish in Louisiana. My favorite dish by far. Etouffee. Now you can have it with crawfish, or you can have it with shrimp. Some people don't like seafood at all. You probably don't even have to put no meat on it. It's a simple recipe, delicious. So first, you're gonna buy you some shrimp or crawfish, okay? Then you're gonna get a bell pepper, a green bell pepper. You get you one of them big old beautiful, either yellow or white onions. You go and chop them up, all right? And then you go and get your spices. Now, some people like to use the Cajun spices, or they like to use all-purpose seasoning. Don't really matter. It'll be to your taste. Now, the dish itself is completely simple. Okay, so now you put as much butter or margarine in it as you want. Now the butter is the base of the dish. So you get you a large pot. You throw your your butter or your margarine in there. I'm not telling you how to measure because I don't measure. I just stick it in there, eyeball it, one big heaping scoop, maybe two heaping scoops of one of them serving spoons out of the thing, or you can use two bars of margarine. You take your diced, bell pepper and your onions, and you go and saute that until it becomes translucent. Get that mug up in there, stir it up, stir it up a little bit, okay? Now, excuse me. Now, while you're stirring it up, you're getting all your flavors. And if you want to, you can go ahead and throw some seasoning in it to get it that consistency. Now, once the vegetables are translucent, you're going to take a glass, all right? You're going to fill that glass all the way up. So if you take one of them glasses you drink, all right, I'm not talking about a coffee mug, just one of those, a cup, all right? You fill it up with water, and then you put some flour in it. And you stir the flour, you whisk the flour together within the glass, or you can put it in a bowl, don't matter. And as long and it should look like a very watery mixture, very, very watery mixture, but it should look, you know, look like toothpaste. So what you want to do is you want to slowly, gently pour that into the pan while on medium heat, and you want to go ahead and stir that up. Okay. Now, some people like that etouffee really thick. So what that flour does is kind of like a thickening agent to the butter. So as you stir it, you'll see if you want it, you know, if you want it a little runny, then you don't put that much of that ingredient in. And you kind of, you know, just pour it to your eye taste, depending on how you like your sauces to sit on your rice, okay? So while that is going on, you're going to cook you a pot of rice, all right? You're going to sit you a pot of rice to the side, because once the rice is done, then your food should be done at the same time. So as the vegetables are being sautéed and being translucent, you go ahead and cook your rice at the same time, okay? Then you go ahead. Now, you can either do this. You can get already prepared shrimp, or you can have already prepared crawfish. I would recommend it. But if you like fresh ingredients, too easy. Go ahead and cook that prior to, and then once it's already cooked, you go ahead and throw that in the pan, okay? So at this stage, your meat, your seafood should be cooked at this stage, okay? So if you do buy it frozen, which is okay to use, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it because I use it. It tastes delicious. Make sure it's thawed out before you do it, though. You go on and throw that shrimp or that crawfish in there, okay, and you go on and just stir it a little bit, put it on low heat, let all that juices from the shrimp and the crawfish just marinate together. And this dish takes close, roughly 30 to 45 minutes to cook, just depending on how, if you use fresh ingredients or if you don't, you know what I'm saying? So what I'm referring to, if you're using fresh seafood or not, it may be a little longer because you got to cook the shrimp or cook the crawfish. Now, that is totally delicious. So after you come and you put it in the pan, woo! You take your rice, you put it on your plate. Now, you could use parsley for a garnish. And you can also use paprika. Now, some people use paprika just for a little coloring of it, you know, if you use it for shrimp. It gives it a nice little taste on it. I mean, you know, paprika. You can also use smoked paprika, give you a little, you know. So that, it was one of my favorite dishes that I learned how to make, that we loved to eat in my house. My mother showed me how to make that dish. Oh, my goodness. It is nothing like a fresh cooked bowl of etouffee. Now, with the etouffee, not only can you eat it with rice, but you can also put it on a baked potato. Woo! Woo! Talk about some good eating. That baked potato, it is something. You got to cook it to your justifications, your taste buds, okay? Because it won't taste good if it just, you know, if it's not yours. So it comes with a whole lot of trial and error. That's okay, though. That's okay. So now that I said that, I'm going to tell you the best place I ever ate. I have been all around the world. I've had some good food. And this restaurant ranks, in my taste buds, the best restaurant I've ever eaten. I mean, I drive 45 minutes to get there. I have never had Greek food so delicious. If you want me to, I can post a link to that. Now, if you ever go to Oklahoma, if you ever go to Lawton, Oklahoma, there's this Greek restaurant. It's nice and cozy. It's very, very eloquent. Very authentic Greek food. I'm not talking about this Americanized, you know, gyro and all that. No. We're talking about authentic Greek food. Okay. So if you ever go to Lawton, Oklahoma, it's called El Greco. El Greco. Okay. Let me pull up the address for I don't know. You know, I should be giving them a shout out like that. But I gotta tell you, hey, that's the best food. Best food, Greek food I've ever eaten at. So I'm gonna give them a shout out, okay? Because that's unheard of. I mean, okay. So they're located at 10 Northwest Mission Boulevard in Lawton, Oklahoma. Okay, you can look them up on Google. I just did, and it is. They sell authentic Greek food, if you like Greek food. Okay. Now, let me tell you what I get there. I get the Greek gyro plate. Let me pull that up again. Pull the menu out for you. I shouldn't even close it because I just want you to look at it. I probably might take my children there tomorrow. just to, Lord Jesus. Okay, so I pulled up the menu. Aha, they got music. I pulled up the menu, and I get the gyro plate, which consists of 8 ounce loose meat, okay? And it's served with an all-Greek dinner, served with green salad, pinta bread, the Jessini sauce, green beans, and the choice between roasted potatoes, rice, pilaf, or french fries. And you can also upgrade it. You can also upgrade your salad to a Greek salad. Now, I have to explain this to you very, 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 very slowly. The Greek salad itself, it's simple. Everybody know what a Greek salad is. Majority of you've had a Greek salad. It is something about that salad that I have never experienced in another anywhere else. I mean, the plate is a large portion with nice shredded lettuce, with the Greek style olives in it, with the ricotta cheese. They also have my favorite, which it has cucumbers in it. They have slices of bell pepper with red and yellow, and then the oils they use, that oil and vinegar. I know it's just oil and vinegar, but ladies and gentlemen, listen. The salad itself is just so. I go and I throw a little salt and a little pepper on it. You don't need it, but that's how I like to eat it. Throw a little bit on it, and listen, I nearly have an orgasm. I'm talking about a food orgasm. And if you've had good food and understand the taste of food, woo. Okay, so let me get into the gyro plate, okay? The gyro plate, y'all. It comes with a large portion. I usually get double meat, though, because I love that. Of course, it's the sliced lamb, excuse me, that tzatziki sauce. I have never tasted a sauce that's so delicious that will transform an already delicious meal into It is a 5-star quality meal. 5-star. I have been to 5-star restaurants. Those places don't compare to this meal that I have, y'all. I'm telling you, it is delicious. So it comes with this lamb. The lamb meat is sliced, and it's not actually lamb that's chopped. It's one of those, you know, that comes on a spick and they cut it off of it. And so it's like sliced, thin slice of lamb, like you put on a gyro. Then I get the roasted potatoes, which is cooked in some type of tomato sauce, but it's not cooked all the way through where it's falling apart. It's still nice and bold. The texture's nice and it's holding up. But you have that tomato sauce or tomatoes in it. So it's kind of like not really a stew, but that's all right. And then it comes with green beans. Now, y'all listen. I'm from Louisiana. I know some green beans. Put a little ham hock in it. Boom. Call it a day. No. These green beans, I don't know what they do to them. But it's probably something simple. Listen, but them green beans, Okay, so now that I explain you the whole plate, I take some of my meat and I put it in my salad. I sit there and that's the slowest I ever eat. Was when I go to that restaurant. I don't really even talk when I get to that restaurant because I know as soon as I sit down what is about to hit my taste buds. It is a party in my mouth. I can't sit here and tell you that it's not good. Ladies and gentlemen, oh my goodness. If you like Mediterranean food, if you like Greek food, this is the place. If you have no intention of going to Oklahoma, I would just say, if you love food and you want to check out something different and you just so happen to be in the area, listen, it's worth the drive. It is worth the flight. It's worth it. Okay? So, excuse me. I'll get off of that because, I mean, telling you the truth, I might have to go get some of that. Now, I'm going to have to stay on one of the best places up now. When I lived in Germany, oh my God. I can't even talk about Germany right now, y'all. Excuse me. When I lived in Germany, I lived in Germany for 7 years. And for 4 out of the 7 years, we went to this place in Idar-Oderstein, Germany, Idar-Oderstein. And it was a Chinese restaurant that sat above a grocery store. Okay, so what we had to do was park on the side. We had to go up. We had to pass the. We had to either park behind the store. I mean, because German. Okay, anyway, so we go up the stairs. We go in, and listen, y'all. We ate there some. We ate there so much. They already had our table. They knew when we was coming in. They knew what we wanted. We ate there every Thursday. Now, is that a lot of money? It was. But let me tell you, when people know you appreciate their food, when they know that they can count on you as a regular customer, they treat you beautiful. Now, they were Chinese. The men worked in the kitchen. The women worked in the front. Now, my waitress, she was a young girl. I always messed with her. Oh, she was as cute as a little button. Always messed with her, man. But that's not the point. She had good service. Just great service. Let me listen. The menu was so diverse. I mean, I'm a very picky person when it comes to Chinese food. And There was nothing on their menu that we did not eat. Now, you may say, George, you was a glutton back then. Well, also, I ran 15 miles a day. We worked in the Army. Listen, by the time I got home, I was hungry, okay? So when I'm describing you what I'm about to eat, you're going to be like, dang. This was a normal order on Thursdays. We got cooked duck. We got a plate of beef and broccoli. We got an order of noodles, combination noodles. We got an order of combination rice. Then we had an appetizer of the egg drop soup. Lord Jesus. No. Let me rewind. I shouldn't even. That's disrespectful to that restaurant. That's disrespectful. Let me tell you about this egg drop soup, y'all. This egg drop soup was so delicate. Okay, I don't know what they call that stuff they be serving at these Chinese places. Flour soup or what? That's not egg drop soup. That's not. Let me explain to you, because I manipulated my own way of making this egg drop soup, and it tasted just like they used to make it. They give you one of those little bowls. You know how the Chinese people, they give you one of those little bowls with the little spoon, you know, the little, I don't know what they're called. I mean, I'm not that sophisticated. But it had chicken stock in it. It had a little bit of water in it, you could tell. It had little thin slices of chicken in it. They had a lot of mushrooms. They had rice in it, but it was like maybe you could count on it, maybe 10 pieces of rice in there, maybe a couple strings of chicken, and then they topped it off with some green onions. Then they had the egg in it, y'all. Very delicate. Very, very delicate. So, you know, I just told you the whole recipe right there. Get you some chicken broth, throw it up in there, chop you up some chicken, all right? Tear the chicken all up, let it boil in the chicken broth, keep on throwing a little bit of water on it, right? Throw them mushrooms, whether it be already used mushrooms or fresh mushrooms, however you want to rock and roll. Put a little bit of rice in it. And then you're done. Oh, sorry, not done. You're not done. Because then once that all get cooked in, when it's just about done, another 30-minute meal, maybe less, y'all, depending on if you already got cooked chicken or not. Okay? So, I mean, the chicken should cook a little bit longer because it's already chopped up in little small pieces. You know what I'm saying? So, after you do that, when it's almost done boiling, you go ahead and crack a couple eggs. Let's say three eggs, maybe, you know. All right? Whisk it around, and then just drop it in there. That's how you got to drop it in there. Stir it up. 30 minutes. Boom. You got you some delicious egg drop soup. You heard my ingredients. That's not hard at all. And I'm telling you, that stuff that they sell at these Chinese restaurants here, no, that's not. No, that's not even. Listen, I had to order two or three bowls of the egg drop soup by itself because I could not believe it tasted so good. But it did. So now we got the egg drop soup, we got the duck, we got the beef and broccoli, we got the chicken, we got the combination rice and the combination noodles. Them noodles, y'all. They gave us complimentary rice wine, gave us complimentary dessert. Every time we went, complimentary. That's it. We didn't even pay for it. Complimentary. Now, I've got to say, their egg rolls, you couldn't tell there was oil on that. There's no way they cook with oil. No. Hey, delicious. I can get in that. But sadly to say, they closed down. I don't think. I think the business ran out when we went, when we got deployed. You don't know how heartbreaking it was for me to go to a place that I appreciated and loved. Those people could cook. And my head, if I could find that family, I would bring them to America. I would bring them to America, and they would be my personal chefs. I mean, look, I have to find them a way to get them a restaurant. Even if we had to cook out our own kitchen, we got to get, I mean, whoop! Okay. It's a toss-up, but I got to go with this one. The second place that, in Germany, that I ate, the place that I ate, don't even know the name of it, because the only thing we know, and you could, anybody who lived in Baumholder, Germany, or who was stationed in Baumholder, know this one dude. He said, my friend. That's all he said, my friend. And so we didn't know the name of it, but we called it my friend. That's it. Now he was an Arab gentleman. I don't know his nationality. Don't know, but that's not the point. The point is he sold the most delicious gyros on this planet. You don't get a choice between chicken. Well, you do. You could have at towards the end, but the lamb was so delicious. You would even, man. He would, you go in there telling me you want a gyro. He say, you want a big one or a small one? Because big one means you want fries. Small one means you just want the sandwich. Okay. Y'all, you don't know how depressing it is knowing that I can't taste that no more. This man would go and he'd cut his lamb off the spit. All right. Put it down there. Put it on the pita bread. Right? Y'all don't understand what I'm saying. He'll go throw it in the oven. Boom, boom. He'll smash it down. Then while that's smashed down, right, he'll ask you if you want a drink. You say, yeah, I want a drink. Then he'll say, okay. Boom, he'll move over to the drink thing. He'll pop it open for you, give it to you. Then he'll go over to a pan, right? It looked like a little small cake pan. The brother would, he did it so much, he just poked how much fries he already knew what he needed. He put it in there. He dumped it in the fryer, left it there, came back to you, took your money. Once you got your money, whether it was cash or euro or whatever, he'll go back. By the time that done, I mean, he had it down to a science, y'all. He would go, take the fries, shake them right there, let them sit a while at the oil drain. He'll take the pita bread out. He'll put that fresh lamb on there. Sorry. He'll go and he put that. He had some lettuce. It was not lettuce. He had some cabbage. Throw some cabbage on there. And so the way it was set up, you could tell him, it was kind of like a little buffet. You could tell him what kind of condiments you wanted on it. So I always got cabbage and goat cheese. That goat cheese, y'all. If you have never had goat cheese, I recommend that you get some goat cheese. Because that goat cheese, man, woo, that goat cheese is delicious. Anyway, and then he'll throw that hot meat on it. And then he'll top it off with this, somebody help me. I wish they knew that sauce that he would dump on there. And it's kind of like that Suzuki sauce from that Greek place. He just squirted some of that stuff. And of course, I know it had some type of cucumbers in it. It was white and some cucumber and I don't know, it was something in there. And so he put it there, wrapped it up in some foil. Now, picture a McDonald's a Big Mac. That's how big that gyro was, y'all. It wasn't a wimpy one. It ain't one of the ones you get here in the United States. You ain't getting that. You get one as big as a Big Mac, y'all. He throw that mug up, fold it up in tin foil, put it, your fries is fresh and warm. Fresh fries, not the one sitting under the, no, fresh fries. And then you get home, open up the top, party in your mouth, y'all. Man, I'm telling you, I'm getting hungry right now. Think about all that stuff. Okay. What about this? Another place I like was called the Stock Crew. Now, Stock Crew, you had to get there early. Because you don't think you're just going to waltz up in there and you're going to get you a table. Y'all, sometimes the waiting list is 2 hours long. So you got to get there. You can't get there too hungry. Because if you're hungry already, you're going to be starving by the time that you get seated. They had some celery ribs, though. I mean, and they did cook horse meat. They did add some horse steaks. It was delicious. Now, I'm going to skip over to Korea. When I lived in Korea, man, there's little things called cantinas. Of course, you know what a cantina is. But this was Korean cantinas. They made the best. I mean, okay, listen. Y'all think ramen noodles is good? Now, ramen noodles ain't got nothing on them noodles they got in Korea, okay? It was something they got in these noodles that is so delicious. Now, it looked like, it tastes like ramen, and it could be, but whatever they got on that is just totally delicious. Now, you can order it plain. You can order it with cheese. Or you can order it with bulgogi. Listen, y'all. You've never had a delicious noodle entree that consisted of beautiful noodles, nice, delicate cheese, and bulgogi. Now, bulgogi is just beef, all right? It's just a certain way they prepare it. It's just barbecue beef, okay? Without the barbecue sauce, of course. And they throw it in there. And it's just to die for. Now, you can also get bulgogi and rice. See, now, back in the day, this is probably where I got diabetes. Now, I used to double up on the starches. See, what I used to do is say, okay, give me the bulgogi and rice, but I also want noodles with cheese. Booyah! You see where I'm going with that? I threw that up in there, stirred it all together, and I got this big concoction with noodles and rice and cheese and bulgogi. Y'all is making my mouth water, y'all. Listen, if you'd like to call in, please share your recipes with me at 347-989-1014. So, that was my experience. And now, I'm not going to talk about this. I'm briefly talking about this. I can't get down with the kimchi. I can't get down with that. Because it was just too much for me to smell. Can't get down with that. So, I've got to come back to the States and tell you that there's a place in Oregon, in Eugene, Oregon. It's a sports bar. I think it's called Happy Days or Sports Inn or something like that. They trimmed down their menu. Once they trimmed down their menu, it became awesome. They have the best sandwiches and wings and fries that I've ever had in Oregon. I mean, there's a lot of restaurants that we've been to. None that really just popped out and stayed in my mind. But that place was always one of our favorites to go when we had to go in town. Now, when we go to Arizona, y'all, listen, when we go to Tucson, Arizona, let me pull it up, because if you ever are in Tucson, Arizona, we're going to go there this summer. We're going to go see our Tia, Tia Cecilia. Okay? We're going to go see Tia. Every time we see Tia, Tia know what we want. Tia already got a table reserved for us. Tia already know what we going to get. There's no mystery. Okay? It is a Spanish restaurant. And I wish I knew the name off my top of my head, because it would have definitely saved us some time on there. And I didn't even know that I was going to bring this up, but I think that's it. Off of Grant. Okay. So let me. I don't really get the name of it, when I get the name, I will tell you what it is. But let me tell you what. The first time Tia Cecilia took us there, I didn't know what I was getting into. I really didn't know. She said, "Well, we're gonna order some cheese." You know, I'm thinking she ordered some queso, you know, some cheese you just dip your chips in and whatnot. Now, what they do is they bring you this, this tray, and you can turn it, and they got different types of sauces and dips. Okay, so this is what I'm thinking. Okay, I'm just gonna get some chips and then get some salsa. And to get some queso with it. No, y'all. This is not cheese you could normally eat. So what they do is you order either a family size one or you order a small size. You can't order a small size, y'all, because you won't be able to put it down. You'll eat your fingers off. The cheese is three different types of cheeses. So it's like eating... a cheese stick. Not a cheese stick, but you know the little cheese sticks that you give your kids like that? But then they bring it to you on a huge platter with little pirates underneath it to keep the cheese warm. So the cheese constantly is melting. Y'all, they bring you tortillas. You take the cheese, you scoop it on the tortilla. You take your sauces, all kind of different sauces. They got all type of different sauces. You put it in there, you fold it up like a burrito, you eat it, and I'm telling you, that is to die for, y'all. That is to die for. I mean, every time we go, I don't order nothing. I mean, there's nothing on the menu I can eat because I fill up on the cheese by itself. Now, you say, yeah, you probably get clogged up, but y'all, it is worth it. Because that cheese, oh my goodness, I wish I knew the name of it, and you think I would know. And I'm trying to Google it, because I know it's off of Grant. And I don't want to give y'all the wrong place, and y'all talking about, oh, you don't know. No, man, I am telling you, that is the best Mexican restaurant. Oh my goodness. Okay, well let me Nope, I know it's not that one. I think it might be El Choro's Cafe. No, it's not El Choro's. Nope, it's not them either. Well, I'm not going to spend a lot of time trying to do it. Like I said, I need to find out the actual, what the restaurant actually is named. That way, you know, I won't... be sending y'all to the wrong place. But I'm telling you what, that cheese, the cheese just melts on the tortilla, and then you put that salsa on it. It's incomparable. I love going to Arizona just because of that. I mean, to see my tia and my TO Guillermo. Love those people out there. Give y'all a shout out. Love y'all. So like I said, we'll be seeing them this summer. So I'm excited. Can't wait to see them. Plus eat. Now let's go to the bayou. Hmm. Y'all want to do the bayou? My home ground, my stomping ground. Let's do it. Now, because I have been born and raised in Louisiana, and I know what good food is, and I would like to keep good food in its being of itself, I would like to say that sometimes I'm disappointed in the food that is served in Louisiana. The reason why I say that is because people have different conceptions of what good Cajun food really is. And on that, they say to you, well, this is how I grew up with it, which is true. Everybody cooks a lot different. So this is what I'm going to say. I got to break down the regions for you, okay? So when you're in Shreveport area, that top part, all the way down to the to Alexander, and that where the boot is, the Mason-Dixon line, that is what we consider when I was growing up, was they were Louisianans, but they weren't from Louisiana. Okay, I know that don't make sense. But the original Canadian French settlers landed in Lafayette, Louisiana. Actually, it was Brobridge area, but that Lafayette area is kind of big. So, I should say the Acadiana region or parish, Acadiana parish, because in Louisiana we don't have counties, we have parishes. So, when they finally settled down, they settled in that area. So that's why we have a lot of what they call Cajun and French. Now, Cajun French is, of course, a peasant dialect of French. Okay? And that is what the Creole language is in Louisiana, the southern part of Louisiana. And so traditionally, coming out of that, that would be majority of where Cajun come from. And then you get what they call Creole, and Creole consists of Mexican, Spanish, Native American, or Black mixed. Okay, and that's why we're considered Creole, or you would say mulatta or whatnot. Now, the difference between Creole and Cajun is Cajun are white people, Creole are black people. So when you talk about Creole cuisine, you're talking about black people's cuisine, and when you talk about Cajun cuisine, you're talking about white people's cuisine. Now, as you know, Louisiana is in the southern part, and when you start moving eastward, and you start getting into those little parishes, going towards Baton Rouge and New Orleans, where, you know, everybody knows where New Orleans is, and Bourbon Street and all that stuff. That's a whole different thing, y'all, because New Orleans was the port out of the Gulf of Mexico. I mean, in the Gulf of Mexico, and also out of the teeth of the deltas, okay, coming out of Mississippi River. So it was a hub, just like Hong Kong. It was a hub back in the day for sailors who were coming into from the southern region trying to get to the United States up the Mississippi River. So you had all kinds of people there. So not only was crazy and wild, But once they got into it, the mainland, it started to spread and all that stuff, y'all. So I just want, I know I kind of gave you a little history history about it, but I had to break it down in order to explain to you real good Cajun food. Creole food, I should say. All right. Now, I will explain to you how to make gumbo. Really easy, really simple. Now, gumbo, where I'm from Lake Charles, Louisiana. I'm in the southwest region of Louisiana, far west of the opposite side of New Orleans, far opposite side of New Orleans, on the I-10. But the way that we were raised to make gumbo is either you have your chicken, your sausage, you have your seafood gumbo, or you can have your seafood and your chicken and sausage all together. Now, I'm a carnivore, okay? I'm a carnivore. I have to have my meats. Thank God he did not make me allergic to shellfish, because I can eat me some shellfish, y'all. I love my crawfish, y'all. So, I'll tell you how to make your gumbo. First you want to do is you want to decide whether it's going to be a seafood or it's going to be chicken and sausage or all the above. Simple. Then you can go either buy you a can or a jar of roux that's already made for you. And basically roux, y'all, is, excuse me, it's just flour and water and you kind of burn it. Okay? You kind of burn it, throw a little water in it, kind of burn it. Put some water in it, kind of burn it, put some water in it. And it'll come into it like, you know, just making some a thick gravy. And depending on how thick you like your gravy or how runny you like your gravy will be the consistency that you want it. Okay? So, for me, for example, I like my gumbo a little runny. Actually, a lot of runny. Okay? And it should be runny. It shouldn't be really thick. And because that's all the juices, okay, y'all? So, once you do that, you go ahead and fill your water pot up. I mean, your gumbo pot. It could be, you know, one of the big old tall pots you use for all kinds of stuff, you know, but it has to be a tall pot because there's a lot of liquid in it. And then you go and you cook that down, and then you put in your vegetables. Now, your vegetable can be consist of anything you want in your gumbo. Now, what I put in my gumbo is a white onion, maybe a yellow onion. I put in garlic, fresh garlic, and put in some chives. That's just me. And so I let all that cook together, get that in it. And what you want to do is because the water substance in there can be brown and bubbling, you want to go ahead and add your seasonings in now. I mean, you're going to really have to put a lot of seasoning in to even get a taste, because when you put in your meat, you can do a rub on your meat and all that stuff, but it's going to come off anyway, y'all. So when you go ahead and season it, get it nice and balled up. Get it real nice and hot. Once your vegetables become translucent, go and throw your stuff up in there. Go throw your chicken in there. Throw your crabs in there. Now you want to wait with your shrimp, depending on how big your shrimp are. You want to wait with the sausage as well. You want to give the chicken enough time to cook. So it would take approximately maybe 2 to 3 hours for the gumbo to be complete. And like I said, if you want to go ahead and throw your garlic powder in it, you want to throw your onion powder in it, and you want to go ahead and throw all kinds of seasonings in, whatever season you want to put in it to make it. I mean, it's your taste. So if you want to put a little sage in it, a little thyme in it, that's up to you. I mean, it's your dish. And I like making my recipes simple and to the point. I'm a man. I don't got time to be measuring. And my mama never taught me how to cook. So especially when it comes to measuring. Now my wife, She cannot stand it when I do that. Oh, she likes everything to the T. All right. So, anyway, so while that's cooking, you want to go on to put your batch of rice on. You want to make sure that your rice is fluffy and cooked right, because there's nothing worse with eating a bad batch of rice with your gumbo. Now, I had made a mistake one time and got sick and messed up the rice. And we ate this gumbo. The gumbo was good, but the rice was mushy. It was the worst gumbo I ever had, y'all. But the gumbo came out good. And what you want to do is for every person that's going to eat it, so if it's just you and like three other people that's going to eat it, you don't want to make a big batch of gumbo unless you want to stretch it out, you know, for the week or something. But if you got like a big family coming, then, you know, one of those big old chef pots will definitely do it. It will definitely do it for you. Then, I like potato salad with mine, y'all. I don't like eating gumbo by itself without potato salad. And it is nothing like a yellow potato salad that will make a gumbo go good. Now, you can either take that potato salad and put it in the gumbo when you have it in your bowl, or you can put it on the side. I like to do it depending on how I'm feeling. Then that's how you do it. Now, back in the day, there was a my dad prepared us a turtle gumbo. Now, I know you're thinking, what? He prepared it for us a snapping turtle. This snapping turtle was as big as one of them drum buckets. Man, I wanted to put my hand in there. My daddy slapped my hand so hard. I never felt slapped like that in my life. I remember that now, but I didn't understand why he slapped my hand. Because it was a snapping turtle, y'all. Snapping turtle. Them things will cut your fingers off. I would thought that he was a pet. No, my dad, all I know is next thing I know, I was like, what a turtle. We eating the turtle, y'all. Then my dad told me a story about him eating egg gumbo. Now, egg gumbo is really easy, as you can see. All you got to do is make your gumbo and make your roux, get your water where you want, then throw some eggs in it. You know, and then, you know, just put it in there. Of course, it's going to be already. Excuse me. You know, boil your eggs, throw it in there, and then you're done, right? Right. So, then you got your Popeyes. Listen, I'm not going to even bring up Popeyes. Then you got your New Orleans type, okay? The kinds that you eat in restaurants, and you're like, oh, Lord, I love their gumbo. Well, the gumbo that they make in New Orleans is they use tomato and they use ham. Now, like I said, there's nothing wrong with that, but you have to understand that it depends on what region where you're at to what you have to eat. So, in that region, I'm sure they had a lot of pigs and all that stuff. So, what all they did was cut up the pork, throw it in there, throw some tomato sauce up in there, boom, and then throw some okra. Now, my auntie told me about okra gumbo, and she told me that I'm supposed to use something and it cuts the slime off of gumbo. Now, my daddy was notorious for making some sausage and okra gumbo. He loved that. Now, he never cut the slime, so I had to always pick up the sausage and it had slimy meat in it. I just couldn't eat it. It wasn't delicious to me. So I'm not an okra lover. I'm sure if I ate it now, maybe my taste buds would change. Let's see. What's another recipe I can use? Oh. If you ever wanted to learn how to make dirty rice, or what we call rice dressing, I'm about to give you an easy recipe to make dirty rice. You're going to be like, is that all it is? And I'll say to you, yes, that is all it is. Now, if you want traditional stuff, I'll tell you the traditional after I tell you how to make this easy recipe. Excuse me. So, you go to the store and you get you some Italian sausage and some ground beef. You mix it together, throw your spices on it, whatever spices you want. You buy a bell pepper, celery, and onion. Chop it all up, put it in a pot with the meat, cook it up. Once that's done, you take you already got the rice on the side, you throw your rice in it, there you go. Dirty rice. Now, you could leave out the Italian sausage, but I found that Italian sausage will give you a taste. Now, you could also use the sage Italian sausage and throw some thyme in it, because some people like that taste. But, that's like I said, you have to, you know, come up with your own recipes in order to try to, you know, what's your taste and what's your likings. Now, let me tell you the traditional way how to make it. The traditional way how to make it is you add chicken heart, you add chicken liver, you add those two things in it while you cook it. Don't add too much liver because the beef liver, or excuse me, the chicken liver is either, yeah, the chicken liver will overpower the rest of everything. So you have to be very delicate of how many pieces you put in there, just depending on the quality. So, for example, if you take a pound of Italian sausage and a pound of hamburger meat, well, then you probably want to use two to three slices of liver, depending on how big they are. Now, chicken hearts for that matter, throw the chicken hearts in there. Those things are good. So throw your chicken hearts in it, go in, and cook it up. Now, some people might tell you that you could mash it up and kind of like, you know, put it kind of in a blender. I mean, whatever works for you. It just depends on your presentation and how you like it. Because, you know, as you know, in the dirty rice that you get other places, the meat's really finely grindy thing compared to the rice. So when you're cooking it, your ratio to rice to meat should be whatever you want. I love a lot of meat in my dirty rice. So my portions to rice is even pot. That's my ratio. If you like less meat, but then don't put all the meat in it. Just take some of the meat out, put it on the side. Dump the rice in, and then you have more rice than you have meat. Now, saying that, you can take that same dish, and you can make boudin out of it. All you got to do is go to a sports store and buy hog casings that they sell for like 99 cents, and buy yourself a meat grinder, and do that. That's how I make my boudin. So now I've not only given you one dish, I've given you two different dishes. And it's really, 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 really easy to use. Really, really easy. I mean, it'll probably take maybe 2-3 hours to do it. Maybe you may cook the food on one day and then just decide to do the stuffing another day, and it won't take so long. But just depends on how you want to do it. Now, I'm going to teach you how to make cornbread dressing. Now, everybody does cornbread dressing a little different. If I was in Louisiana, I would go buy the mix and all that stuff, and then it would be too easy. Well, needless to say, I don't live in Louisiana. I haven't lived in Louisiana for a long time, so when I was in Oregon, I had to make it work, okay? So what I did was I took the Italian sausage, put in my bell pepper, put in my onion, put in my celery, cooked it down with the Italian sausage, baked my cornbread, threw my cornbread into another pan with the Italian sausage, and depending how rough or the texture you like it, if you like it creamy, if you like it mushy, then, like I do, I like mine kind of mushy. I don't like it with all the breadcrumbs and stuff like that. You can also add some chicken stock to it. Y'all, that's gonna increase the flavor. So if you let that sit overnight and then you warm it back up, you don't even have to warm it back up. You can eat that cold and it still tastes delicious. So now at the most, you're spending 30 minutes. If you're cooking, I think cornbread takes 45 minutes maybe. I don't remember how to cook off the top of my head. But look, if you're going to cook a small meal, say you want to cook some pork chops. Take your pork chops. Boom, boom, boom. You cook your pork chops. You got your cornbread in the oven. You're cooking your meat. You pull it out. Got your green beans. Boom, 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 boom. There you go. That meal will be ready in 45 minutes for your family. We talking about Rachel Ray, easy cooking. Listen, this is some very delicious foods. And if you notice, everything I'm saying has the same ingredients in them. So you can go to the store and you can buy the same thing. We cook with a lot of turkey. Now, what I'll say about turkey is if you cook with turkey, you know turkey don't have a lot of fat in it. So you've got to find a way to get that fat back in it. I don't know how you're going to do that, but if you want to eat it on a healthier scale, then you probably want to think about that. So that's why we go with the Italian sausage and the hamburger meat. Now you can also get lean hamburger, and it won't be as dry. But those are some things that you can do. And I tell you, apparently my family in Oregon, they love every time we have a functioning or whatnot. They love the cornbread dressing. So they love it when I make it. I gave them the recipe. Now I tell you, when I first met my wife, the lady was bad, man. She made this thing called carnitas. I never heard of that before in my life. And I'm like, what's a carnita? I don't know. And so she made it with these cactus and these peppers, green chili peppers. And the way that she cooks them, it is the meat itself is so tender. It just falls apart. You go and you throw it in your tortilla, and you build, because it's all cooked, the chilies and the cactus and stuff all cooks into the meat, and so it's just a glob of meat with your food. You don't have to worry about putting onions or any of that stuff in there, because when you get the chilies and when you get the when you get your chilies and your cactus, that's already in there. So you just throw that, dump that, all that stuff and all that juices. You just sit it in the pot and just let it simmer. And then, like I said, you know, they eat sour cream. I don't really eat sour cream. I just like taking the natural taste of it, and it just melts in your mouth. I've never tasted meat so supple as that. That for me, when my wife makes meals, that is my favorite meal she makes. We hadn't had it in a long time, so hopefully she'll make it again. Let me get back to favorite place I've ever eaten. When I went to Washington State, there's a little town called DuPont, right outside the gates of Fort Lewis. It's a little small town, and it's named DuPont. In this little town, there's a Mexican restaurant that sits by the bus station, or some type of transit station. It sits right there in the corner all by itself. Y'all, I love some Mexican food. But these are authentic Mexican food. This food will make you want to slap your mama. Delicious. Service is awesome. They play good Spanish music. They serve quality authentic Mexican food. It's also child friendly. The decor in it makes you feel like you're in Mexico. Um, I can't remember what I had, but I think I had an enchilada. For a while, I was on an enchilada kick, and it was so delicious. Oh, that reminds me. In Oregon, in Eugene, Oregon, there's this place called Churreros. Churreros is located by Kroger's in a marketplace on the corner. It sits by the McDonald's. And I tell you, we had to eat there at least once a week. At least every time we went to town, Churreros was our place. They had good service, children friendly. The decor was beautiful. The food was awesome. I always got the enchilada Del Mar. It was a seafood enchilada. Oh, it was delicious. And I really never strayed from that because, you know, when you find something that you like, you just can't, you can't put it down. Now, here in Wichita Falls, listen, I know it's Wichita Falls, but we've got to do a better job. I think Jefe's, their salsa is some really good salsa. Their food is very well, very good. I haven't tried any other Mexican restaurants here, but definitely it's a competition to hang up your hats on. Now I tell you what, when we go to Dallas, if you ever want some traditional Salvadorian Mexican food, woo, you need to go to Mario's. Mario's has got the best food I've ever had. I'm talking about in Texas, because their steak, I get steak and, you know, the steak and shrimp. That steak is so prepared so well. When you tell them that you want a medium, they give it to you medium. It comes with beans, rice, salsa. Now, the rice, y'all, that rice that they serve, it's not regular Spanish rice. It's a yellow rice. It's a yellow rice with vegetables in it. Delicious, y'all. And their salsa is good. They got this black bean dip and the salsa. You can eat it by itself together. You ain't even order nothing. It's so delicious. But that's just me. That's how I like to eat. So I will come up with, let's see, what's another recipe? What's another recipe that I like to share? I think let me think off the top of my head. I talked about a lot of Cajun food. I talked about the egg drop soup and how to make that. There's another recipe that I want to share that's really, really easy, and it is a Puerto Rican dish. Now this Puerto Rican dish I learned when I was living in Germany, and the dish is very simple. So what you do is you cook some rice, and when you're cooking your rice, you take some butter, you throw butter in it, and you buy some pigeon peas. You take your pigeon peas and you throw it in there. You cut up breast, chicken breast. Once you cook the chicken breast, then you go ahead and throw that in there and mix it with a little bit more butter, and then there you go. That's the meal right there, and it's delicious. It's got that nice sweet butter taste to it. So, I mean, that's awesome. So, if you'd like to call in there, the number to call is 347-989-1014. I'd love to hear your stories. All right, so, well, how's that been? I am trying to think. Oh, man, I can't even think. Well, I can't think of anything more to say. So, but, like I said, tomorrow we'll be coming back on the forums again. I hope you have a good night. And next time I see you, next time you should be sounding off. Thank you for listening.